My offer of a serious, meaningful dialogue to resolve this issue remains open. But Iran must now cooperate fully with the International Atomic Energy Agency and take action to demonstrate its peaceful intentions.
It's Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, speaking late last month about the nuclear situation in Iran. He talks a lot about diplomacy as a tool for resolving conflicts like the nuclear issue in Iran. And that's why the Nobel Prize Committee awarded President Obama the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize. It's explicitly to focus on his diplomatic efforts and makes no mention of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. At the significant risk of raining on this global parade regarding Barack Obama and the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize, we welcome John Bolton back to the program, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, who served under President Bush. John Bolton, it seems as though the Nobel Committee has explicitly tried to influence events by awarding this to Barack Obama at this stage in his presidency. What do you gauge the ability of the Nobel Prize Committee to actually do something like that?
Well, I think this has been a very politicized decision for a number of years. And I think it has been with a very definite bias. In a sense here, I think the Nobel Committee couldn't vote in our election last year, so they decided to vote this year. But I think there are two things that are noteworthy. The purpose of the Nobel Prize is to reward achievements. And if you look at the prizes that were awarded this week in physics and chemistry and medicine, they're all to individuals who have made a tangible step forward in their field. Here, at least what the press has reported about the citation for President Obama, it's for his efforts. And, like lower school field day, where every child gets a medal for his efforts, I just think they're debasing the currency.
Right, although there's always been an explicit distinction between the Swedish Academy, which awards for scientific achievement, and the Norwegian Nobel Committee, which has a quite different mission. We've been talking a little bit of the precedent of awarding a prize when peace efforts are ongoing. And in the Middle East, the ability of the prize to have any influence is certainly a mixed record at best.
I think that's why it's evidence of politicization. I think the sharpest contrast is really quite dramatic is with this Nobel Prize and the first Nobel Peace Prize awarded to an American president, Theodore Roosevelt, in 1906, when he negotiated the Treaty of Portsmouth between Russia and Japan that brought the war between those two countries to an end. And I think observers at the time and historians since there have been essentially uniform in giving President Roosevelt direct and personal credit for this. So that was a tangible achievement. And in contrast to this, President Obama's been in office for 8 months. He's made a number of speeches. There's nothing tangible that he's accomplished. So if the desire of the Nobel Committee is to reward effort, there's a long line of people who
right.
could get it.
Well, stay with us, John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Paul Martin is with us, professor and director of human rights studies at Barnard College, Columbia University. There's also the example of Woodrow Wilson, sitting president, who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. John Bolton refers to Teddy Roosevelt. Is the Woodrow Wilson example useful?
Well, again, the Woodrow Wilson example is a perfect example of someone who had a great vision and operated very well in Europe, but didn't get the support at home. And I think that's the challenge we've got to face today.
I was reading a newspaper out of Oslo in which they were saying, experts on the Peace Prize were saying that they were expecting them to return to Alfred Nobel's original intent, which was to find a peacemaker engaged in a current conflict who would benefit from winning the Nobel Peace Prize, that they were trying to get away from lifelong diplomats or economists or climate change activists and get back to the original intent.
Well, I think that's a choice that they make. But I think that, when John Bolton talks about politics, I think, yes, there is a definite message to America. And I think it's up to America to listen to that. And I think that the previous administration was very committed to a go-it-alone type of politics. And I think the message the rest of the world is saying, we're here, we want to work with you, let's talk.
So, John Bolton, do diplomats such as yourself and whatever their political proclivities are, are they under some sort of – do they have some responsibility to not reinforce cynicism in a situation like this? Okay, Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize, but one could say for what? And the net effect of that cynicism would be to stall things that are moving forward. Isn't there some responsibility of diplomats to find a way of using this small gesture as a way of moving forward?
isn't there a responsibility of all people to be truthful? You know, the at least in the case of Woodrow Wilson, he did negotiate the Treaty of Versailles. He lost it in the U.S. Senate by his own political incompetence, but he had at least negotiated the treaty at the time he won the 1919 Nobel Peace Prize. I have yet to hear anybody mention a specific accomplishment of President Obama in this field. And I want to say one other thing in response to your comment of your other guest. It's not the responsibility of the Nobel Peace Prize to speak to Americans to make us to listen. You know, they're supposed to follow the intent of Alfred Nobel's will, and they have in this instance, I think, demonstrated a very fundamental political bias. It certainly is intended to contrast with the Bush administration, but it's flatly untrue to say that we followed a go-it-alone policy. I don't know how you call it go-it-alone when we had 26 other countries with us in Iraq, when we created the Proliferation Security Initiative that now has over 100 countries subscribing to that effort to stop international trafficking and weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, but, well,
I could go on.
Sure, but John, I'm hearing
an important historical point to make.
Understood. But I'm hearing a certain personal sense of repudiation that, in many ways, this award to Barack Obama is directed at mistakes they believe you and the Bush administration made.
Well, I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 3 years ago and didn't get it, so you could say it's at a personal peak there too. But I wasn't waiting for the call this morning. You know, I think it is.
Barack Obama wasn't waiting for the call either. I think it's fair to say.
Well, sure. But I do think it's a manifestation of a politicization in the award, and I think the overwhelming bulk of the American people will say, "What did he do to deserve it?"
Well, our takeaway correspondent, Todd Zwillick, down in Washington, says maybe it's the beer summit with Skip Gates
forgot about that. Well, that justifies it, of course.
All right. Well, getting out of cynicism here, Paul Martin, you are a professor and director of human rights studies at Barnard College. How does this help human rights specifically today?
Well, again, as I think, it's the attitude that interests me and sees very significant, namely human rights. I mean, what we're looking here now is at a president who's saying to the world, I want to engage, I want my State Department to engage, I want my office to engage, and to begin to sort of try to recognize that problems are complex, but they need international cooperation, and this is going to take place in many different shapes and sizes and forms. But the thing is, we're going to listen. I mean, one of my classic examples was when going to Iran, coming back from Iran, going down to Washington, meeting with the desk officer and his boss in the State Department. Neither spoke a word of Farsi. That is not a base for communication.
So I guess the question really is now, what will Barack Obama's reaction to this be? Louise Story on the program earlier this morning suggested, well, is there any precedent for saying it's too early, come back to me in a couple of years?
And there is.
And there is precedent for that. John Bolton, what if Barack Obama does something like that?
Well, I think it would be a signal act of recognition that the prize is unwarranted. You know, I think it's going to be very interesting here in the next few weeks to see if the winner of the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize goes forward and authorizes an increase of 40,000 troops to fight the war in Afghanistan.
Do you think this affects that one way or another?
I don't know, but I think it demonstrates why the motivation of the Nobel Committee, as in a number of other awards in the past several decades, has been very highly political and intended not to reward achievement, which again I think is the underlying purpose of the prize, but to make a political statement, and they've made an overwhelming political statement.
But quickly,
this time.
John, this is hardly the most controversial decision they've ever made. The protesters threw snowballs at Kissinger when he turned up in Oslo to pick up his prize.
It's not a question of it being controversial. It's a question of whether it's deserved. I just want to hear what the accomplishment is in 8.5 months that's comparable to the Treaty of Portsmouth, comparable to the Treaty of Versailles.
What do you make of the charges that in the Middle East the awarding of a prize in the middle of a process had very, very little impact on Middle East peace, for instance?
Well, I don't think there's much of a process going on. To have a peace process, you need two sides, and on the Palestinian side in particular, there isn't really a reliable interlocutor. So I don't particularly think it's going to have much influence one way or the other.
And it certainly didn't when Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin were awarded the prize, and when Rabin and Yasser Arafat were awarded the prize during the Clinton administration. Paul Martin, professor and director of human rights at Barnard College, Columbia University, and John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations who served under President Bush. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.